blessed me to be with you tonight, because tonight we feature Top Fuel and Funny Car racer Mike Smith. I'll ask some racing questions, John will ask some rocking questions, and you can join live on the chat during the show at racersreunion.com. Of course, we're also simulcasting right now on the Facebook page of the Draglist fan page. So check us out there. But without further ado, Mike Smith, welcome to the show.
Hi, how you guys doing?
Man, so great to have you on. You know, a lot of folks, know your dad real well, and we want to make sure they're filled in on you, a veteran of Top Fuel and Funny Cars since the early 90s, 25 years at least in those things. I mean, does it feel like you... Tell us about that a little bit.
It's been a long racing career. I mean, we've had a lot of cars, a lot of different cars I've worked on over the years, and it's still like that till today. We stay very diverse, and it's all about the people to me, you know? All about the people in drag racing.
Well, you've known a million of them, and, you know, a lot of times, you know, the great thing about the Smith Racing family, and, you know, your dad and yourself and your brothers, is you guys a lot of times will get with a kind of a new guy coming to the sport, trying to get their feet wet and figure out what to do, and give them a solid baseline and just get them rolling. Tell us about some of those times.
Yes, we've done a lot of teaching and got people that's rolling that's actually, you know, bought equipment and wanted to know what it takes to run it, and selling combos over the years, and just, you know, teaching, you know, ground rules of drag racing, what it takes, you know, a lot of hard work, safety first, and get down the racetrack and don't blow your stuff up. It's always been the biggest tradition in my family.
Right. Right. It's absolutely a tradition with Smith Racing. And that's the thing. I mean, a lot of guys used to, you know, the blow up everything, but, you know, Paul Smith and Mike Smith, and get them down the track every time, get them down there safely. I mean, you guys don't have budgets to be, you know, burning up motors every single pass. And I don't think that's a smart way to go racing anyway. Guys, I guess it's kind of the way they do it now, but I almost would love to see it back to the days when you have one block and you got to make it work the whole event. I mean, what would that be like if we drag race that way these days?
Boy, that would change a lot of people's ideas on what they do when they come in the race, and it'd really, really comb their operation and their actual equipment that they have really, really well. You know, that would be a special day and a special kind of racing if we ever had that rule.
It'd be cool. I know Garlitz, I mean, it was like maybe the 80s, I think he was asking for that, thinking that would be a thing.
And yes.
I guess it's gone by, but...
yes. He, Big Daddy, he's kind of one of my favorite opponents. I got to race him at Indy a few years back in qualifying, and it was really cool. Plus, he drove one of my dad's Top Fuel cars when he actually did a comeback tour. So, yeah, his ideas are always really... you know, groundbreaking and at the same time concrete. Like, this is something we probably need to do, and we're coming into that era, maybe.
Right. You know, something's going to change here pretty soon. I don't know what it's going to be, you know, but it seems like the current deal is unsustainable as they lose one or two cars a year off the show. And, you know, the nostalgia movement is crazy strong, and I know you're heavily involved with that. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about that a little bit. But you know, I think it might, you know, it might be the way to go. You guys might be leading the way with the way you raced for years and years.
Yeah, that would really be cool if they could seal the engines, you know, and say, hey, you have to run the same short block all weekend. That would really be a neat way to go, you know, because we definitely know how to do that.
Yeah, for sure. Well, you know, I mean, for folks, just to do some refreshers, you were flying, and, you know, it was the Paul Smith racing car. This is the earliest I have you on the drag list, is 1992 in Top Fuel. You guys did a lot of great things in IHRA and NHRA. But
yes,
flying down the track in those days. And, you know, of course, back then, IHRA was a pretty solid second sanctioning body that had a really strong Top Fuel program. It's too bad it's not kind of around anymore. I mean, have you heard anything about them bringing it back next year?
I haven't heard much. My dad has. He's pretty tight-lipped. He actually talked to Mike Dunn the other day, and he's actually still there with IHRA from what I know. But we'll just have to wait and see what happens with that. He knows more than I know, and especially when it comes to that, the political structure of drag racing and all that jazz. He probably knows a little bit more than what he's telling me, which is probably a good thing. Yes.
Well, I just wanted to, you know, I wanted to touch on those early Top Fuel days, and a lot, just to bring, you know, some of the younger fans up to speed. And in the early 90s, you know, Mike Smith driving a Paul Smith racing car was a solid, solid competitor, you know. Heavy-duty fours, back, of course, we're talking quarter mile now, but heavy-duty fours, you know, everywhere you guys went, really solid qualifiers at all the NHRA and IHRA races. And, you know, tell us about some, what were some of the events that, you know, running Top Fuel back then that were like your favorite? I'm seeing,
In the middle 90s, I mean, our most favorite stuff was actually the match racing more than anything, you know, Englishtown and ADCO, and, you know, running multiple events during 1 week. You know, we'd go Tuesday night at ADCO, race against Shirley with a Top Fuel car, and run the funny car, and then climb in the rig and go Wednesday to Englishtown, and then jump in the rig and go to Columbus all through the 90s, you know, through the 80s and the 90s. That was really a lot of fun. I mean, we would run two cars with four or five guys, you know, with Dad and four of us. You know, we did right. that through all the way through 95, 96, almost 97, all through there we did that. When the opportunities came, we raced, and be able to match race and to go to the national event and actually spend our money at the national event. But it paid off a few times, like in 1996 at the Keystone Nationals with Jeff Arenswin.
Yeah, that's right. Folks don't remember that. Jeff was heavily involved with your team, and you know that big blue car and the funny cars.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, did great stuff and got the big win. And you guys were living.
Well, I think VP might have dropped out. You're still there, Mike?
I'm still here. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yeah, man, go ahead.
I don't know what the phone, it was working. That's not all of a sudden. We there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Yeah, Bill, his connection dropped out. He's up in Colorado, and he's having a little bit of a problem staying online. I think he's calling back in right now, but go ahead, man. We were listening to you.
Yeah. The most fun times were, you know, through the 90s. I mean, now it's fun, too. The guys I have now are great, you know, racing with Dana Hart and all the New England and funny car guys, you know, with Paul Weiss and Ray Goodrich and all the boys that work on the Hart guys car. And now the Dye Broke car with Johnny Wall, he's my favorite opponent now because we're doing like a tribute to our Snake and Mongoose, and we just had a race this week, and we're 1-1 against each other, and it's really cool because we're in-house cars. I mean, there are so many stories because I got this line of questions I've been looking at trying to figure out what's what, and there's just so many stories it's hard to share them all. But right now, the group I have, and we've been doing this for a couple years now, it's really a cool group, you know, working with Jeff Wren, a little bit with John Capps, with Dad, Dave Richards, on down the line, the Richards family, Dana Hart, it's where I am now at Camco Custom Automotive Machine. I mean, it's just really a good time. Al Segrini comes in the shop almost every day, and Johnny Wall, the new driver we have on our team. So it's really cool to be able to put this back together, and we figured out how to do it with what we have. You know, low buck. Sometimes you got to buy some new parts, but man, we try to still make a buck with it. And that's what my dad always taught me. If you don't make dollars, it don't make sense.
I know what you're saying, man. And you know, you guys do it better than anybody else that I've seen out there. You know, you can go way deep into eliminations, win the event even, and you're doing it with not as much money as those high dollar guys have, you know. And I just really admire that about y'all. Always have. And
when you had to live off it, that's what we did, you know, and it's what I grew up, you know, just out of high school, maybe a little bit of college, and it's like, you know, let's go race, and then we just figured out how to make it work, you know, working for the Castronova brothers, Philly and Freddie, actually Fred more than Phil, you know, going to Utica, New York, and then racing a Nitro Fever car, Gary Cravens, and then Dad's Entertainer Funny Cars, in and out with that stuff, Jerome Bradford. I mean, on down the list, there's so many cars and so many teams, and when it came our way, Chuck Etchells, you know, a good friend that we lost recently, he was integral in our careers and my career, you know, because at the first Top Fuel Dragster I drove, I mean, we owned as partners with him, and the engine was from his stuff. You know, it was actually a spare engine rack. You know, we built the car, you know, to be able to have that and run some races and be able to transfer and have a license and go racing. And, well, there's so many, you know, it's funny to be able to work in different places and to make it work, you know, and be successful with pretty much anything. You know, you walk in the door and you say, okay, we have this, this, and this. We can do this, you know. You can make this happen. We need things. We can make it happen. You know, making it happen is what we've always done in Smith Family Racing, you know, over the years, you know.
Oh, man, that's fantastic. I was going to ask you, you know, as a driver, what did you ever have a preference between driving Top Fuel or driving Funny Car?
I always wanted to drive Funny Car, but Pops was a little bit scared of letting me drive it. He didn't want to explain to Mom if something ever happened to me, so we got a dragster. And we bought that car originally from Gary Richards, the Richards family, Gary, Paul, and Dave. And it was actually John Kerry's car that came that Bill Mullins drove. That was Jody Smart's car. It's like a third car hand-me-down thing. And we lengthened it, and we made our own wing struts, and we made it all work. And the car actually won Rockingham an IHRA race. I think it was 1988, 89, something like that. Beat Gene Snow in the final there with Dad driving. You know, so we bounced back and forth. Once I got my license, I drove it some, and you know, it was really a cool ride to have because it was what we had, and we made it work. You know, and we're still involved with those same families pretty much right now. Yeah, pretty tight group.
Man, that's great. You know, I'm looking at some of Bill's questions that he had here for you, and he was going to ask you, what was your childhood like with your dad, Paul Smith?
Oh, it was great. Summertimes, if we had good enough grades, and I lied about my grades. Bo's was pretty good, but I lied about my grades a little bit to get on the road. Then I got in trouble, you know, 3 or 4 weeks into the summer, my butt was grass, but we figured out, like, back then how to make it work. We got to go to Detroit Dragway, where Dad set the track record multiple times there, I think 75 and 76. Got to go race in Alabama with the Todd family, a lot of 8-mile drag racing, Sylacauga, Selma, Montgomery. There was a lot of racetracks we raced at there, and that was to be able to eat, you know, over the years. So that's what we did growing up in the summertime. And then we raced Miami Hollywood, we raced West Palm. That's where I got my license at and stuff like that. So it was a good childhood, you know. Plus, when we were in high school, we did high school things. Bodie, my brother John Bodie, playing football and baseball, and I was more of a musical guy. I played trumpet and did jazz band and did marching band and all that jazz. And we stayed had a pretty full childhood, let's put it that way.
Wow, that's awesome, man. Well,
good.
You know, I lied about my grades too, but only once. I learned after that, you better tell the truth or else, you know. So
you better. That's right. That's right. We have a kid right now, AJ. He's Al and Lauren Govia's son. He's a little boy, comes to the races and comes works on the Hard Guys car and a New Englander car, and he has less than quality report card recently, and he got pulled out of the junior dragster, and his sister's in the seat now. So his little sister. So that's a great family rivalry going on. So we talked about that. I said, don't lie about your grade, you get in big trouble.
So, you know, my son Kyle was in high school. One night I called my dad, and just out of nowhere, and I said, Dad, I just want to apologize to you for all the trouble I gave you when I was in high school, all those headaches I gave you. He says, Well, that's okay. He says, why are you doing this now? I said, because I'm getting it. But
that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Well, my son Nate's getting ready to graduate this next year, and he's looking at going into the Navy, which, you know, I almost had a tear because I'm like, really? Yeah, so that would really, really be neat, and the connections are there to be able to make that happen. Hopefully he will, because it's really going to, at an early stage in life, we see not necessarily the mistakes we made, but nowadays what you need, you know, to be able to have things a little bit better, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's absolutely true.
Yeah.
Well, let's see. Yes. Bill was going to ask you, and he asked this from every guest that we have on the show. Can you tell us what your worst, your best, and your craziest times are at the drags?
Oh, the worst. You know, it's funny because we have, I always go back to the live TV event. It was actually the first live TV event in 1996 when Jeff Arend won the Keystone Nationals with us. We had everything going all day, and then we had all, I mean, you could have that happen in one moment. Like the engine's in the car, and then Andy Nearing's on the bottom end torquing up the mains, and he breaks number 4 right main, which is common in a KB those days. And we can't drill it out in time. We have an engine in the trailer, but it's just got a crank and a cam, and it's got nothing in it. And it was the best of times and the worst of times all at once, because you, like, you drop down, you're like, we're done. We're not going to get in the final list, you know. Tony Pedregon's going to get a bye run. And then all of a sudden, the energy hits. It's like, don't stop now. Let time be on your side. And that's what we did. But, you know, the worst of times were some of the crashes. My dad had some bad crashes over the years. Gainesville 84 was a tough one. It was a brand-new car, red Corvette. And it had just run 252 mile an hour the run before that, and that was the same year that that Bernstein ran 260, and it was on the verge of doing that with a new combination that him and Scott Graham had put together, which was, Scott was his best buddy and crew chief at the time, and they were trying to put big pump with dual mags, and we learned that cast cylinder heads come in two sometimes if you don't watch it, but we learned a lot over the years, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, you're Mike Smith. You've seen it all. I'm sure there isn't anything you haven't seen out there at the drags that, you know, I've been there as a spectator, but I never participated myself. And, you know, I'm here as the rocking guy. You know, I'm the music consultant of this. I heard you mention that you were in a jazz band.
Well, in high school I was. I had a great range. I played trumpet. Lead trumpet and jazz band all through high school, and marching band too, for that matter. And we had a lot of awards, and I'm a huge Maynard Ferguson fan, Herb Albert, Chuck Mangione, all down the line. And that was just something that came natural. I was able to play that. I couldn't read a lot of music, but I could actually play at a great range, and if I could read it long enough, I could figure it out, you know, and mimic it. Nowadays, it's a little bit better. I can read a little bit of music, but I still, between racing, I don't pick up a horn enough. That's for sure.
Oh, man.
But yeah, that was, I'm a huge jazz fan. Maynard Ferguson is one of my favorite horn players, if not the favorite horn player out there. And of course, you know, Tijuana Brass, Herb Albert, all that stuff, one down the line.
Maynard was fantastic. My brother-in-law took me to see him when he played here in Houston back in the 70s. And it was, he had a hit record, and I can't remember the name of it, but it was out there on the charts, man. And he was just, that guy just blew the roof off the place, you know. But those are great guys, and Chuck Mangione, absolutely, they're fantastic. Do you still play?
Yeah. No, every once in a while I pick up the horn. When I'm at home, but not that much. You know, I listen a lot, you know, and I wish I had the range that I used to, but it would take me months and months to get back into that. Maybe one of these days, you know, maybe get a flugelhorn and play a little bit mellow, but I was always a screamer, you know, like blowing nitro. It was the same thing with the horn, you know, huge range and playing over everybody else, huge range and playing over what everybody else could you know, produce, and I'd have to simmer it down. Exactly.
Well, when you go to the races, do you ever have a song that gets in your head that gets you pumped up and ready to go out there and compete?
You know, there's a lot of them. I mean, it depends on what mood I'm in, you know. I mean, I can listen to anything and everything. There's certain songs there, but I usually don't get the headphones on and zone out. I usually am more into what's going on with my guys in the car and talk with people. There's a lot of Led Zeppelin that really does do it, and that's from Billy Peterson a lot, because we talk about Zeppelin and we rode down the road, and Billy Peterson used to be the crew chief for Kosky Ivanov in the Boston Shaker up here, and he does the clutches on our cars up here, and he helps a lot. You know, he has a good, you know, baseline on what's going on, and he'll tell me when he's like, hey man, you're being stupid, or hey man, you know, let's get after this thing. So he's really 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 good. And then when the Zeppelin came on, in fact we beat Robert Height first round, it was a Led Zeppelin moment, let's put it that way.
It sure was, man. No doubt about that. Well, do you have any shout outs that you'd like to give while you're on the air with us?
Danny Hardswick, the bottom end guy, got a shout out to him. He's always there when I need him. Dana Hart, of course, he's always there. We run this Hart guy's car, and now with Johnny Wall, the die broke, we hurt the die broke car, we need a new bullet, we threw the rods out, but we think we found some of the issue tonight in the dry sump tank on how we had things plumbed and what we got to do to, we saw on the computer finally in the shutdown area we were having problems rolling up some bearings. So Dana, Billy, on down the line, Mustang Madness, Dave, Paul Weiss, Ray Goodrich, of course, my dad's hopefully he's listening now, him and Sharon, his wife Sharon Norris, we just lost her mother about a month ago, Ruth, and that was a tough time. But you know, we've lost a lot of people lately, and it's not easy, you know, but we figure out how to keep moving, how to keep going on. Life goes on, you know. Kid Nate, and on down the line, and his mommy. So that's pretty much it. That's all I can think about right now. And Roy, we got to talk about Roy, backwards clutch Roy. I wouldn't have qualified Maple Grove last year and won that first round if he wouldn't have put those discs in backwards. But we had to talk about that because it's eternal. I told him that's an eternal thing for him, and he is my clutch guy on the New Englander funny car. He's actually, last time we did it, he was perfect. Last time we raced, he was perfect. He didn't miss a beat, and he's great. But he's probably laughing right now because he's probably listening to us, you know. But he's a good shout-out. He's a good shit. He's a good kid. So.
That is great. Well, Mike Smith, we're just about to run out of time here, and we're going to have to say goodnight to you. But we sure do thank you for coming on the show, and this is great information.
Yes, sir. All right. Well, everybody out there, thanks. It was cool. We'll be doing some more racing. We've got a race coming up August 5th. Epping, New Hampshire, New England Dragway. So we're going to be racing there. Me and Johnny Wall are going to be hitting it. It's 1-1. I got low ET. All good.
That is fantastic, and best of luck to you up there, Mike.
All right, bud. Be good. Thank you.
Take care. Good night. Mike Smith, folks. Great to have him on the show. Now it's time for JB's take. My pick for racer of the week is Robin Orthodox Yu, a hairdresser from London, England. Robin was recommended to me by his son, Darren. Thanks, guys. I had an awesome chat with Robin last week. He called me when he heard I was looking for him on Facebook, and we had some laughs and we exchanged information, and I got some great details on him and his hot rod. Robin built, drives, and maintains a 27T Altered that is an amazing piece of machinery, engineering, and talent. He built the chassis himself in his shop. He's raced the car in different forms and configurations going back to 1994, and he's upgraded it regularly to where now it's powered by a 632 cubic inch Steve Schmidt big block Chevy. He's a regular competitor and comp eliminator at Santa Pod, and over the years his team, the Chaos Brothers, has also earned the nickname Entertainment from the safety marshals whenever he pulls up to the line. The car has had an incident or two, the most serious of which was when Robin was running a torque flight hooked up to a gap in Roush, Cleveland, back in 2014. Coming off the line at 8,000 RPMs, the transmission totally detonated right between Robin's legs. He only suffered a bruised foot as the tranny blanket did its job, but the explosion took out parts of the body. It bent the steering shaft and it even bent over the clutch pedal. After that, the team switched over to a Liberty 5-speed and never went back to an automatic. And not long after that happened, the Cleveland threw its rods out, and it too was history. That car had run a best of 848 at 158. Robin decided the next step was to go with a big motor, but with a new chassis, because it had to be built in order to certify with that combination. So the car that's there now is the new version of the old hot rod. His first love is Funny Car, and what he built with the new motor is a hybrid between a Funny Car and a Pro Stocker. As well as seeing pictures of Robin sideways in an identical position to one of Willie Borsche's wildest runs. And Robin also drives with one hand, by the way. People say he's crazy. I can't understand why they'd say that. I watched an extremely dynamic four-panel video on YouTube of Robin making a pass in the car. And when it barreled through the traps at over 190 miles per hour, all four wheels were up off the ground. He's run a best ET of a 695 at just under 195 miles an hour with the car. And he has a best 60-foot time of 1.01 seconds. Now, this guy means business, and his championship seasons of 2014 and 2015 have him standing as one of the most popular and respected sportsman racers in the UK. Robin, we wish you good luck, safe racing, and the best of times in the future. Now, it's time to mention our lost friends. We haven't been on the air for a while, so this goes back to July the 5th when we lost Jim Hayter. He was the 1971 AHRA Pro Stock Champion. On July the 9th, Anthony Craig Owens, at the age of 38, was killed in a crash at Ware Shoals. On July the 12th, Dave Schneider of Schneider Cams passed away. Also on July the 12th, Ann Harrison, the wife of Fletcher Harrison, went to meet our Lord. On July the 13th, we lost Chuck Beal, the alcohol funny car racer. He died of a stroke. On July the 14th, John Collins, the Nitro Funny Car pioneer, and JVC, the short battle with cancer. The next date, July 14th or 15th, between the 15th and 20th, we lost Dave Reitz of Reitz and Sneeden Superstock Mopar out of the Bob Banning Dodge Company. On July the 20th, we lost Rick Fogel. Also on July the 20th, we lost Max Hurley, the 2007 East Coast Drag Times Hall of Fame inductee. And on July 23rd, yesterday, we lost Thomas Dunford, age of 60. He was a dragster, owner, driver, and he was killed in a racing accident at MIR. So thanks to Mike Smith, thanks to Danny White, Jeff and Dustin Gilder, Barb Santucci, and Bud Mr. Drag News DeBoer. Next Monday, we're wrapping up the month with a great guest, funny car legend Della Woods, on July 31st. So y'all take care and have a great week, and we'll see you next time.
I could cut down on my smoking, baby. And my drinking, baby, I could cut down on it too. Cut down on my smoking, baby. And my drinking, baby, I could cut down on it too.